This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Mitch Tyne.
And I'm Bonnie North. In a politically polarized environment, it was news that the Senate this week began bipartisan hearings on the future of the Affordable Care Act after the GOP-led effort to repeal and replace it failed over the summer.
But while the hearings seem like a welcome change, what are the realistic possibilities for tweaks and fixes to Obamacare? Barbara Zabawa is our health policy contributor. She's a clinical assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences at UW-Milwaukee and owner of the Center for Health and Wellness Law. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
So we spoke a couple of times over the summer as developments in the Republican-led effort to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act played out. As we have heard and followed, it never happened. So as we have this conversation in early September, what is the state of things as far as the Affordable Care Act goes?
Right. So starting today, the Senate Health Committee, it's actually Help Committee, but I'll just call it Health Committee, is starting bipartisan hearings about the Affordable Care Act and what to do about it. And that, I think, is a good thing. I recently attended a talk by former Governor Tommy Thompson and former Secretary of Health and Human Services, who urged everyone to get involved because he said, if anything is going to get done with healthcare, it has to be bipartisan. And now is a great time that if you, as a citizen, have any input into how we can improve our healthcare delivery and coverage systems, to get involved now, tell your Congress people, tell your senators what your thoughts are, because they are looking for answers. And so with the Senate Health Committee hearings and the bipartisan nature of it, because both leaders of that committee are supporting this bipartisan effort, I think that there may be some promise in actually bolstering, you know, the current status of the Affordable Care Act and trying to, stabilize the insurance markets and perhaps give states more flexibility in making sure that their markets are working.
Well, give us a primer on that. Well, why are insurance markets so shaky at the moment?
Well, primarily, I think, because of the uncertainty. Because, well, insurance generally tries to insure against uncertainty. So if the market is uncertain because government is unable to make any decisions about what the status is of the law of the land, that uncertainty fuels unstable markets and increases in premiums and uncertain future for, you know, what insurers will stay in the market, what insurers will charge in the market. And that's difficult for all players, all stakeholders in the healthcare system to contend with.
There's really uncertainty at many different levels here, not just insurers, but patients and and government as well.
And providers, yes, because they don't know who will be playing what role and to what extent. And until these questions are answered, everybody's just sort of guessing and hedging their bets.
So let's talk about as you say, the Senate is holding these bipartisan hearings, which actually it seems to everyone kind of like a nice change. Let's talk about some of the things they're considering at this point. I've read about something called cost-sharing reductions.
Right. The CSR payments, which was something that the Affordable Care Act was helping people who were at 250% or below the federal poverty rate, help afford their health insurance cost sharing responsibilities like deductibles and co-payments and things like that.
And these payments go to the insurance companies, right?
Yes, to help reduce those costs. And there's a lawsuit that the GOP brought against the Obama administration to stop those payments because there was no congressional authorization for those payments. And that lawsuit has been sort of in limbo because of the change in the administration. And so the Trump administration has been renewing the CSR payments on a month-to-month basis, but there's always this looming threat that those payments will stop. And so there's an effort by the Democratic side, certainly, and I think even some Republicans, to stabilize those payments at least for another year or two to provide some of that certainty in the marketplace.
Another issue that some say might be considered down the road is something called reinsurance funds, which I gather were part of the act in its first few years. What are they and what's at issue in terms of restoring them?
Right. So the reinsurance funds were to help insurance companies sort of have a safety net for insuring the high cost individuals that were going to be coming into the market. And
these are people with kind of rare and hard to treat diseases.
Yes, yeah. Who probably were at one point in the high risk pools and now are going to be in the, you know, general marketplace. And so there was a 3 R's payments that were insurance companies were supposed to get. And those payments are also under threat. So some of the, certainly the insurance industry is pushing to restore the commitment that was made originally in the Affordable Care Act to those payments. That was sort of the deal that was struck that, with the insurers, if the Affordable Care Act passes, we want to make sure that we're not going to lose out when all these new people come into the individual market. So certainly that's another. Those are other types of payments that are at risk with any sort of repeal efforts, the Affordable Care Act.
Are you hearing about any other ideas that are either on the table or maybe pie in the sky that Congress might consider?
Well, I think the strongest proposal that's out there is the proposal that was put forth last week. I think last Friday there was a letter written by John Kasich and John Hickenlooper, the governors from Ohio and Colorado, respectively, with signatures from other governors. So a bipartisan state governor effort to put forth to the leaders of Congress, including Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and to help them understand what the states in general are thinking would be a good resolution to this stalemate with the Affordable Care Act. And their proposal is really to stabilize the market through funding of the cost-sharing reduction payments and to give states more flexibility. The Affordable Care Act does have a section in it, 1332, that gives states the opportunity to sort of innovate with waivers. These governors are asking for more of a streamlined approach in their application process for these waivers, so that states can have be the testing ground for some of the things that nationally we can't do to see what works best. And so I think because it's bipartisan and because it's really sort of tweaking at the edges of what the Affordable Care Act offers to improve it, I think it may go a long way, at least with these Senate Health Committee hearings. I understand that governors will be part of the process in the next few days, and I imagine some of these governors will be part of that process.
So before we wrap up, I want to shift gears to another issue that hits close to home for a lot of people. Late last month, word came that the majority of health insurers that state employees could choose from in Wisconsin would no longer be participating in the state group health insurance program. Realizing you don't have specific insight into why each of these insurers made their individual decisions, can you talk about what's going on and what you know about the situation in Wisconsin and why insurance companies would choose to participate or not participate in, the opportunity to insure a very large group of people?
Yeah. Well, you're right. I don't have specific knowledge. I haven't interviewed any of the insurers that decided to pull out, but from an observer, I can see that the insurance companies that did decide to pull out of providing coverage for the state employees, which cover the whole state, these are all national or at least statewide health insurance companies. And so these companies have large groups of insureds across the country or across the state. And I know that all of these companies, or at least many of these companies, were in the running for being an administrator should the state go self-insured. That was something that Governor Walker had proposed early in the budget process as a way to save money and to make ensuring the state employees operate more efficiently. And that has not happened and will not happen. And so the insurers that would have been in a good position to be part of that self-insured administration are the ones that are pulled out of the coverage.
So they may well have been sticking around in the hopes that Wisconsin would go to the self-insured model.
Possibly. Again, it's all speculation on my part, but it means certainly those were the insurers that had the best opportunity to be part of the self-insured market.
And at the same time, a decision like this, it does not necessarily hew to the idea of economies of scale, just having access to a large patient pool as some of these companies had, does not necessarily ensure financial success. It's not, you know, the bottom line isn't we were able to cover, you know, 6,000 patients.
Right. I mean, part of the problem with health insurers or part of the struggle is to contract with providers. And many insurers in Wisconsin are provider-owned. And so you have these national insurers coming into a state where a lot of the doctors and nurses and hospitals own their own insurance companies. And so it's hard to contract with providers who are already aligned with another insurance company.
So the insurance companies have a lot of access to patients, but not necessarily access to the
providers. Right. And that can pose a problem with having a network that your patients or enrollees will find satisfactory.
Barbara Zabawa, thanks so much for helping us understand this.
You are welcome.
We'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Barbara Zabawa is a clinical assistant professor in the College of Health Sciences at UW-Milwaukee, and she's the owner of the Center for Health and Wellness Law. She's also a regular Lake Effect contributor.